If you're at 95 South in St. Johns County near mile marker 316, you'll see a lot of backup there. There's been an accident. Two right lanes are blocked. On I-10, 295 and Butler Boulevard, we see no issues. Morning clouds, then afternoon sun today. Our high will be 80 degrees, and this evening partly cloudy with an overnight low of 61. Currently it's 62 here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Minimum wage workers will get a pay raise and businesses will get a break on insurance bills as new laws take effect in Florida today. President Trump says he's ready to deal for the government to reopen, but no compromise from Democrats on border wall funding. And economists say while the stock market has seen major turbulence, 2019 looks good for positive growth.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
3 minutes after the top of the hour. Good to be back. Good morning, Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. January the 2nd of 2019. Roger, thanks to you, Kevin Derby, Ron Davis, Bill Carter, Pastor Bruce. Who else did I miss?
Oh, gosh.
Matt Schellenberg.
Matt Schellenberg came in. And Ralston.
You see Bert, yeah, I want to thank Bert, man. I want to thank everybody. We were out for just a few days. But thanks to all of you. And, folks, we are ready to kick it off. As I said before, I'm the happiest behind the mic. So, anyway, Roger, thanks for filling in for everything as always, man.
No problem. Had a good time.
We had a great time. We got a lot of news to cover today, and let's get to it. Again, more as we continue to move along. I am your host, Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. Let's kick it off the new year with a bang and talk about probably what people have been talking about for the last month, not Mueller, maybe the border wall, which we'll get into, about the markets, about the stock market, about how it had a 1,000-point swing one day. The stock market's had a bad flu season, I think we can all say that, yes. Okay? But yet, what is the economic outlook for 2019? That's the question asked by Fox News' Sandra Smith.
And it's an interesting moment for this country where Wall Street is reflecting the actions of the White House and Congress, perhaps in a bigger way than we have seen historically. You hear the R word thrown a lot, recession these days. Are concerns of one, are they overdone at this point, or is that becoming a reality?
That's the question that's been asked. Even some of my liberal friends, Roger, have been Facebooking me, even admitting that they do not believe that the economy derives of what takes place with the stock market. Evidently, we've seen some of the biggest retail sales since out of 6+ years. So evidently, it does not have an impact. But some may say, what to expect for 2019? Economist Mohammed Elian, who is with the Alliance Group, he is the chief economist. He says there's three things to look at when it comes to the economy and the stock market for 2019.
You have to look beyond Washington. Yes, Washington is an added factor, but there's three things going on. One, the global economy has become more uncertain, not because of the U.S. The U.S. is doing fine, but because of Europe and because of China. Two, central banks have changed behavior. They are no longer buying securities. They're no longer keeping interest rates really low. The Fed and the European Central Bank are tightening liquidity. And finally, behavior has changed on Wall Street. It's no longer about buying every dip. It's about selling every rally. So there's a lot going on.
So, again, that's what we've talked about. If you see a major downfall, some of it could be on tensions dealing with trade. Some could be on whether or not Facebook is happy with the privacy and investigations that also may happen with the new Democrat Congress taking over this week. Who knows? But he says a lot of people are making money off selling from the rallies. But he says, but wait a second. What about the economy coming up in 2019? The economist says, hey, listen, we could see good, continuing, positive economic growth.
It's certainly not becoming a reality. You would need either a major policy mistake or a massive market accident to push us into recession. I think the most likely outcome is decoupling. The economy will remain strong, growing at 2.5 to 3%. Wages will continue to rise at 3% or north of that. And the economy on a standalone basis would look fine. But because of what's happening in the rest of the world, because liquidity conditions have changed, markets will remain volatile. So don't be surprised if you see these 1,000-point swings in the Dow. That is our new reality for a while. And it reflects the fact, Sandra, that we're coming from a very good 2017. People forget that. Mm-hmm. Everything went right in 2017. Higher returns, no volatility, and great correlation. So I think of this as a normalization.
A normalization. Coming up this week, well, it could be beneficial for some of those out there that believe more money is better for their back pocket, and it is, but should be based on higher minimum wage due to a 2004 constitutional amendment that ties the rate to inflation. Minimum wage workers here in Florida will get a pay raise at $8.46 an hour starting this week. That's up from $8.25 an hour. But do you know what the federal minimum wage is, Roger? It's $7.25. That's it. But also some good news for Florida businesses throughout the state. They will begin to see lower worker compensation insurance rates.
Interesting.
Workers' comp. Okay. Regulators have approved an overall, are you ready for this, almost a 14% decrease and worker compensation rates for 2019. That follows a 9.5 average rate reduction in 2018.
Right. Every employer has to have workman's comp insurance. It's required by law. So having that that insurance rate go down, beneficial to a lot of employers out there.
Yeah, that puts a lot of more money in their back pocket. What's the latest on the government shutdown? President Trump, I mean, we heard it over the holidays that, hey, if I don't get my $5 billion, I'll be happy maybe with $2.5 or $3 billion. Democrats still say no. Fox News, Kevin Cork.
Just spoke with a senior administration official within the hour, and unfortunately, he said to me, there's little optimism here that Democrats will come to their senses and create a deal that enables the president to get his money for the border wall. And so that means this could probably go on for quite some time, and that's certainly not very good news, in particular for those of you who work for the government and are now sitting on the sidelines. Hope on Capitol Hill, Democrats are obviously eager to resume control of the House this week. Meanwhile, Senate Democrats are urging the president to, listen, give up.
But is it more based on the Democrats? Fox senior legal analyst Greg Jarrett says, when it comes to immigration and border wall, the Republicans have been in charge until this week. Can't they be part to be blamed as well?
Your critics would say, well, wait a minute. Republicans have had control of the House and the Senate for 2 years.
Right.
And the White House for the better part of 2 years. And yet you have failed to undertake comprehensive immigration reform that would include a border wall. So doesn't the GOP leadership, meaning McConnell and Paul Ryan and others, bear the lion's share of the blame?
When it comes to this, North Carolina Congressman Mark Meadows says, why can't we get a border wall funded? He goes, in fact, for those of you in Florida and throughout the rest of the country, he says, we spend more money on sugar subsidies than we do on a border wall.
Throughout the night, his desire is to not shut it down, but it's also to deliver to the American people a secure border. And we've got to do that. He's made a promise. He's committed to that. I believe we'll get it done. But right now, there's not a deal, primarily because of Chuck Schumer. Think about this. We spend more money on sugar subsidies than we do on building a wall to secure our nation.
Yeah, some have said that in some areas we spend upward of $3 to $8 billion
really
alone on sugar subsidies as well.
Why pick on sugar? That's a Florida industry. Let's pick on corn subsidies because it's probably a
ethanol?
Whole lot more ethanol and high fructose corn syrup.
When it comes to the Mueller investigation, is this thing ever going to wrap up? Rudy Giuliani, a report from Fox News, says, hey, listen, it's either time to put up or shut up.
That's what one of the president's attorneys said. He started off by saying, I challenge Mueller to put up or shut up. He ended that tweet by saying, it's been 2 years, so submit a report to DOJ and we will answer it. His last tweet of 2018 reads in full. He says, quote, I am looking forward to 2019 so we can end the Mueller witch hunt before he starts his unpaid traffic ticket investigation. Happy 2019.
Traffic ticket investigation. But yet, when will this wrap up? Is it possible it could happen in the next few months?
Remember, before Rudy Giuliani, the president's first batch of attorneys said that they were expecting this to wrap up at the end of 2017, maybe early 2018. Here we are on the first day of 2019, and we have no further guidance, no further clarity whatsoever as to when this will wrap up. It could be a perfectly legitimate question to ask, do we even know if this is going to wrap up in 2019?
Is it possible, according to former federal prosecutor John Laura, he says, I think it's going to be several months before the Mueller investigation is wrapped up.
I agree. I think we're many, many months away from the release. Mueller was charged with determining whether or not there was coordination between Russian entities that were interfering in the election and the Trump campaign. So far, he has not established by way of indictment or by way of any cooperating witness that there was that cooperation.
You know, a lot of people did predict, Roger, this thing would probably wrap up. There's nothing there in 2017. Mm-hmm. Thought it might have wrapped up before the elections. Then they thought it might have wrapped up before the end of the year. Could be months away.
You know what's so interesting is that these are very expensive undertakings. You talk about a special prosecutor, essentially. You know, does he have a flat budget? Okay, this is how much money I've got to spend. Or is it an unlimited access to the taxpayers' funding that keeps this thing going indefinitely? Because that, to be frank with you, is something I think needs to be talked about.
Roger, you know, in Florida, a huge military community, a lot of military people listen to this radio show, and we love our veterans. When it comes to it, there's a big story out of Fox Business News. U.S. military members, get ready for this, for the biggest pay raise in about a decade. Beginning this week, U.S. military members will start to see their paychecks rise. The Defense Department is raising base pay for military members by 2.6%. In 2019, last year, or yeah, I guess you could say last year, in 2018, it was 2.4. Most military members can expect bigger check the first pay cycle of the new year. Retirees and veterans receiving disability pay will also see a bump in their compensation as well, the largest increase. Some would say when it comes to retirement, that's an extra $370 at some of the top retirement pay system. Everybody will see pay increases for the military, much bigger than it even saw last year in 2018.
And I think most people will say, you know what, they deserved it.
They deserve it. They deserve it. And yeah, they don't get good benefits like other government workers do. So more as we continue to move along. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, Talk Radio, WBOB.
On 995 South at mile marker 313, there has been a crash and a lot of backup there. Two lanes are blocked on Butler Boulevard, 295 and I-10. We see no problems this morning.
Hi, it's Mac with Baker Glass. If you're having trouble finding a clear option for that new shower enclosure or a replacement for that fog glass, then call the Baker Boys or find us at BakerGlassInc.com. That's BakerGlassInc.com. Baker Glass, no one treats you better. Hi, this is Mac with Baker Glass, where we use our more than 32 years of experience to provide a complete glass service to all of our customers and a clear choice for you. See for yourself at BakerGlassInc.com. That's BakerGlassInc.com. Baker Glass, no one treats you better.
Remember this website, GoFlyLeasing.com. They give you a direct flight without all the hassles of waiting around with no advanced two-hour arrival time at the airport, no TSA lines, no crowded middle seat. They take care of you. Low rates for flight per hours with additional cost. Visit the website. Take advantage of it today. GoFlyLeasing.com. Get involved in their monthly membership programs as well. Don't waste a full day of layovers. GoFlyLeasing.com. That's GoFlyLeasing.com.
Morning clouds today, and then we're expecting afternoon sunshine. Our high today at 80 degrees. This evening, partly cloudy with an overnight low of 61. Currently, it is 62 here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. President Trump says he's ready to deal for the government to reopen, but no compromise from Democrats on border wall funding. Economists say that while the stock market has seen major turbulence, 2019 looks good for positive growth. And minimum wage workers will get a pay raise, and businesses will get a break on insurance bills as new laws take effect in Florida today.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email Ed at WBOB.com.
All right, it is Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. What is today, January the 2nd?
It's the 2nd, yeah.
Okay,
second
just day. Make it, yeah, you, that was the 3rd, yeah.
Had
anyway.
To make sure I looked at the calendar there.
Good to be back with everybody. 222-TALK, 222-8255. Don't forget, any part of the show that you may not be picking up due to the airwaves, you're in another area, you say, Ed, I like to listen online on my smartphone, Android phone. It's free. Go to the website, WBOB.com, WBOB.com. More as we continue to move along, what is the biggest issue right now? Is it should be about the economy, you know, turbulence we've seen, they say, up and down days. Is it the border immigration wall? Senior advisor with McClarty Associates, Steve Okun, says the economy is the top issue. He says, unfortunately, the president's going down the road of talking about border security when it comes to a government shutdown.
And what one Republican strategist said was that the president took the wrong lesson from the midterms and that the number one issue is the economy. But the president made immigration the number one issue. He continues to make immigration the number one issue. The Democrats aren't going to cave on that. Maybe the Republicans in Congress will talk him into some type of compromise. But until the president moves off of the $5 billion for the wall, I don't see anything settling on the shutdown in the next few days.
He could be right. I mean, the president, I mean, if the reports over the holidays say that, and we talked about this before we went on our Christmas vacation.
Right.
Don't be surprised if the president would take less compared to more than a 1.6 that he got last year. He would dig for a compromise. And Democrats say they were willing to compromise. Now they say it's no wall. Who's going to blink first?
Well, you know, what's so interesting, the president brought to the White House years of experience as a skilled negotiator. And he always goes out asking for way more than he actually wants so that when he negotiates down, he's about it where he wanted to be in the first place. Maybe the Democrats are wise to it, and that's why they don't want to cave in any direction whatsoever.
As you know, Democrats take charge, I believe, this week, Roger?
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, they take charge. We talk about
in the House.
In the House, a new Green Deal. They're talking about pushing more Medicare for all. I mean, they're going full blown here. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. Impeachment hearings, constitutional law professor Jonathan Turley says there is this obsession. He says, I come from a Democratic household. He says there is this obsession that Democrats have with Trump. And, you know, for example, if Trump says, I'm against the border wall, they would support to fund the border wall. And he points out, he goes, this has almost become very ridiculous. He also says, if you notice the positions that Democrats used to take, that Trump may now used to agree with them or now disagree with them, they've all done a 180.
And the Democratic Party used to represent something. But what we've seen in the last 2 years is that they've become the inverse image of Donald Trump, that this obsession is really worthy of Melville. It's this all-consuming effort, which is beginning to erode what defines the Democrats. When Donald Trump said, I want to get out of Syria and Afghanistan, the Democrats who have long opposed endless or undeclared wars said, oh my God, this is hasty. How could you do this? We have to fight terrorism. Even their rhetoric seems to be adopted from an earlier time. If you look at what Democrats are now saying about Russian influence. You know, we all, I hope, agree that the Russian interference with our election was terrible, worthy of sanctions, and worthy of investigation. But more and more Democrats are saying that anyone who associates with Russians are traitors and you know, they're our enemy. It's this sort of Cold War language that usually the Democrats dismissed and opposed. That at some point, the Democrats are going to have an identity separate from Donald Trump.
Now, he makes a valid point. I mean, here's the thing. Whether you agree with Republicans or not on some of their issues, whether you agree with them or not, whether they like Trump, they don't like Trump, at least for the most part, there is a difference of opinion. Now, we know the media reports that. Let's be honest here.
Right.
And whether you, and by the way, you can look at CNN's numbers. There was a story that came out from Breitbart where their numbers are like down there. Nickelodeon does better.
Yeah.
But by the way, I don't watch Nickelodeon, but my email says, oh, but Nickelodeon's got good programming.
Okay.
CNN numbers are down, but yet the interesting thing is, as I point out, the media has no problem of pointing out the differences with the Republicans. We even pointed out on this radio show, but do you ever see a difference pointed out by other Democrats?
You know what?
Reporting-wise, I'm saying.
You know what? You don't see that, and you know, it's actually a troubling time for a lot of people because we are a house divided against itself. The polarization is so deep, as the report indicated. Democrats are willing to change their positions on long-held views just so they can oppose President Trump. And it's real troubling.
But it's interesting. You know, we pointed out on this show, and it's documented, the comments by former President Obama, former candidate Hillary Clinton, New York Senator, Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, about how they all funded the wall and dare not call them, you know, undocumented workers. They are illegal aliens. And yet you got the new chief of staff, former or now, I guess, currently OMB director Mick Mulvaney said something a couple years ago about, hey, well, then maybe the border wall won't work. They make this as the biggest top tier issue, but yet they don't call out the retractions by Democrats on many of these issues where they've, again, just years ago, have totally changed their views.
You know what? You know, I can respect someone for standing their ground and having a position and a opposing the president, if that's what they honestly feel in their heart, what I don't have a lot of respect for is someone changing their position just so they can oppose the president, like Chuck Schumer in a clip we played previously, where he was all in for a border wall until President Trump supported it.
As we reported a few moments ago, beginning this week, U.S. military members will start to see bigger paychecks, a 2.6% pay raise, higher than that of 2.4 last year when it comes to round. But yet there's a latest poll out there, Roger, when it comes to military veterans and current, those serving in the military. According to the Associated Press, they polled that most military veterans and also those currently right now view President Trump's leadership in a positive fashion. Now, this was done about 4,000 veterans surveyed. 56% approve of how Trump is doing in the Oval Office. Here with that news story, Fox News and former spokesperson for Concerned Veterans for America, Pete Hegseth.
A new poll by the Associated Press shows 56% of current and former service members approve of the job President Trump is doing as president. 59% say he is a strong leader. 48% say he has the right temperament. Of course, the president always criticized for temperament and leadership, but veterans see through that, and they think they see something different. Key number here, 52% approve of President Trump's handling of border security, a big national conversation we're having right now.
Yeah, so those numbers go from 52 and higher, some around 60% on the border security. 56% overall approve how the president is doing in the White House. And again, 59% of veterans believe that the president is a strong leader when it comes to the issue of the military. Numbers good? You surprised that those numbers right there should be higher, lower, what?
You know what? I think it's about right. I think the people, especially those in the military, think he's a superb commander-in-chief, and he stands up for protecting the country no matter what. America first, that's part of his mantra.
How many of y'all care about Elizabeth Warren running for office? Remember what she said? Wait till you hear what President Trump said about her. Remember when she bragged about how well the economy was doing when it was at 50% tax rate?
They are the expression of our values. Mm-hmm. The values of the Republican Party that passed those tax cuts are to give $1.5 trillion away to the richest Americans and the biggest corporations and let everybody else pick up the crumbs.
What's too high for the top personal rate?
It's not about a number. That's what negotiations are all about.
Is 50% obviously too high?
Look, there was a time in a very prosperous America, an America that was growing a middle class, an America in which working families were doing better generation after generation after generation, where the top marginal rate was well above 50%.
It's 90%.
That's exactly right.
Can you name me when that economy was really rolling? Folks, if you want to break it down, remember when Reagan came in, it was at 70% marginal tax rate. He dropped it over several years, 50 mm-hmm. to 25. Technically, she has a point. Now, it depends on the definition of is.
Right.
When the market, when the tax marginal rate went down, not went up, but when it went down from 70 to 50, and you knew there was going to be a decline, when there's a decline, the market was soaring at 50% under Ronald Reagan.
Right.
Because there was more to come down. So technically, she has a point.
Okay.
But she's not telling you who was in office at the time. She wants to talk about, well, it was more better out there, more better. When it was a lot of that. Yeah, when it comes to big government
out there.
Try to
give Tip O'Neill the credit, maybe.
Yeah, to give Tip O'Neill the credit.
But for me, the heart of the question is that you've got to ask, what constitutes a fair share in this economy?
Right. Well, now she's talked about having a presidential exploratory committee. President Trump was asked about her potential run. He says maybe she needs to see a psychiatrist.
Elizabeth Warren will be the first. She did very badly in proving that she was of Indian heritage. That didn't work out too well. I think you have more than she does, and maybe I do too, and I have nothing. So, we'll see how she does. I wish her well. I hope she does well. I'd love to run against her.
She says she's in the fight all the way, Mr. President. Do you really think she believes she can win?
Well, that I don't know. You'd have to ask her psychiatrist.
Wow, ask her psychiatrist. Okay. The 2020 run, who's going to be more far left? That is going to be the key question. More of this as we continue to move along. Talk Radio WBOB.
Well, at 295 South Ocean Way area, the Pulaski Road on-ramp is closed there due to a bad accident. And 95 South, mile marker 316, a wreck there has two right lanes blocked.
This traffic report is brought to you by J. David Tax Law. When you owe the IRS and can't pay, go to jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
That's the sound of people throwing out their old dehumidifiers. They've replaced them with a computerized Wave Ventilation Unit. Wave Ventilation expels moisture, gases, and toxins that are trapped in your basement or crawl space and replaces it with drier, fresher air. Wave Ventilation requires no maintenance. There are no buckets to empty or filters to change. And compared to a dehumidifier, it will save you hundreds of dollars each year in energy costs.
I recently installed a unit and was stunned by the difference. I had a dehumidifier for almost 20 years without ever getting rid of that musty smell. Now, the smell is finally gone.
Say goodbye to your dehumidifier and get a Wave unit for your home.
For free information, go to dryhousenow.com or call 888-964-WAVE. Satisfaction guaranteed. Just go to dryhousenow.com or call 888-964-WAVE.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Single-family houses and apartments are the key to passive income, a.k.a. retirement. No one knows this better than America's most successful investor educator, national radio host, self-made multimillionaire, CEO, and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley. Meet Del's team live in Jacksonville, one day only, at the DoubleTree by Hilton Jacksonville Riverfront, Saturday, January 19th from noon to 4. Attend for free. Register at retireinfiveyearsorless.com. That's retireinfiveyearsorless.com. Limited seating, unlimited potential. Register today at retireinfiveyearsorless.com.
Expect morning clouds today and then afternoon sunshine. It'll be a warmer day too, our high about 80 degrees. This evening, partly cloudy with a low of 61. Right now, 62 here at WBOB.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at WBOB.com.
More as we continue to move along, retail sales, according to MasterCard, some of the best they've seen in 6 years out there, but yet we're telling that, oh, the economy may go into a recession and all this other stuff out there. We'll get into that in a little bit with a lot of our guests. 222-TALK, 222-8255. Guess what? According to, I think, the AP, was the biggest news story nationwide of 2018. How many of y'all know what that story is? 222-TALK, 222-8255. More as we continue to move along. Border wall, security, Trump, 2019. Oh, is it just too early yet? We'll get to all of this in just a little bit. Don't forget, we read all your emails, ed at wbob.com, all the way with you to 9 a.m. as we continue to move along, plus 222-TALK, 222-8255. Don't forget to download the radio app. Just go to wbob.com, wbob.com.
Here's an alleyway.
Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. As the partial government shutdown grinds on, it's in its 12th day now. President Trump has invited congressional leaders of both parties to the White House today to talk things over. What's billed by the White House as a border security briefing. Tear gas filled the air along the border with Tijuana in the early hours of the new year as illegal immigrants started throwing rocks at U.S. Border Patrol agents who were struggling to repel about 150 people who had been trying to breach the border fence. Six people are dead, 16 others hurt. A rail accident in Denmark. The mishap occurred on a bridge linking central Denmark's islands. Russia not saying much about American citizen Paul Whelan, arrested last week in Moscow, now charged with espionage. Wall Street Dow futures down 317 points. S&P futures off 35. More details at srnnews.com.
Good morning. At 95 South in St. Johns County, there's been a crash, and right now two right lanes are blocked. We are seeing a lot of backup on the traffic cams in both directions. If you're at 295 South in the Oceanway area at the Pulaski Road on-ramp, there has been a crash. I believe the on-ramp just opened up, but there is some delay. Morning clouds today, and then afternoon sunshine. We'll have a high of 80. This evening, partly cloudy with an overnight low of 61. Right now, 62 here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Economists say while the stock market has seen major turbulence, 2019 looks good for positive growth. Minimum wage workers will get a pay raise, and businesses will get a break on insurance bills as new laws take effect today in Florida. And President Trump says he's ready to deal for the government to reopen, but no compromise from Democrats on border wall funding.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed@wbob.com.
Ed, it's good to be back. Second day of January. Happy New Year, everybody. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. I want to thank all the guests. Burt Ralston, Bill, our good friend Bill Carter, all of them are good friends of mine. Kevin Derby and Roger and Ron Davis and Pastor Bruce. Anybody that I miss?
I can't think of anyone, but of course.
Matt and all those guys.
Yeah, we had a great time.
Just for filling in, we just took a few days off. We had to. So it's good to be back. 222-TALK 904-222-8255. More as we continue to move along. I am your host, Ed Dean. Again, Happy New Year. Where are we at right now? Government shutdown. By the way, do you guys feel the government shutdown? Is this a pinch? Is this bad? Has the world ended out there? Uh-oh, Kevin Cork from Fox News gives the latest. President Trump says and has said over the holidays, according to many reports, he's willing to maybe give a little bit of compromise on the $5 billion, but Cork says Democrats are not willing to compromise.
Just spoke with a senior administration official within the hour, and unfortunately, he said to me, there's little optimism here that Democrats will come to their senses and create a deal that enables the president to get his money for the border wall. And so that means this could probably go on for quite some time, and that's certainly not very good news, in particular for those of you who work for the government and are now sitting on the sidelines. Hope on Capitol Hill, Democrats are obviously eager to resume control of the House this week. Meanwhile, Senate Democrats are urging the president to, listen, give up.
Now, as you know, the Democrats take over this week. I wonder if the compromise will take place if Pelosi becomes House Speaker. They're saying that over the holidays, the reason why in December she did not want to do it, because many of her, on her side, have said we need new blood, we need fresh new faces out there. She doesn't want to compromise the far left, won't go along with this. And I wonder if there will be a compromise if she is elected as House Speaker.
You know what? There might be some level of compromise. She's got to save face with the left, so she's probably going to have to, you know, limit extremely what the president wants. But I think she's willing to give in on something. You know, in order to get something
given, but when?
When, I don't know.
It's going to have to be after she's House Speaker.
But if the Democrats are going to get anything done, they're going to have to get the Republican Senate to go along with it and the White House, which Donald Trump.
Yeah, I mean, there's not going to be an impeachment. Right. There's none of this nonsense going anywhere. But having said this, that I think, I wonder if a lot of people believe this. I'm curious to hear from the listeners as well that she doesn't want to do it right now. She doesn't want, I mean, she had a compromise on certain term limits and other things out there that she would only serve maybe one more term or two more, who knows. But having said that, that if the president has said he was willing to compromise, Pence has said that the news reports, and well, not all reported by the other media, that again, the president wanted $5 billion, 1.6, they said no border wall. The president says, fine, I'll compromise, $2.5, $3 billion. They still say no. I wonder that if Pelosi gets in, then they'll compromise. I wouldn't be surprised to see that happen.
It very well may happen. And of course, I think it's likely she's going to be the next Speaker of the House, to be frank with you. And it's probably just a matter of days.
North Carolina Congressman Mark Meadows says, why is this all big nonsense about $5 billion? We got a $4 trillion, you know, budget out there. He says, when you look at it, and we spend, what the president is asking, I mean, he says, we spend actually more money on sugar subsidies and what the president is asking for border security.
Throughout the night, his desire is to not shut it down, but it's also to deliver to the American people a secure border. And we've got to do that. He's made a promise. He's committed to that. I believe we'll get it done. But right now, there's not a deal, primarily because of Chuck Schumer. Think about this. We spend more money on sugar subsidies than we do on building a wall to secure our nation.
Sugar subsidies anywhere from $4 to $5 billion. I posted this over the holidays. Let me ask this question to all of you on the left that listen to this show. And again, this is just a very simplistic question. The government shutdown, which is heavily bragged about by the Democrats in the media, Bill Clinton, who admitted, by the way, couple more days and he would have reopened the government.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And by the way, the government shutdown really wasn't that bad. It helped us kind of get into a surplus. We saved hundreds of billions of dollars when Gingrich and those guys were in office. Having said that, when Bill Clinton, now follow me for a second. Here's the question I'm asking. And I asked this question on my Facebook page. When Bill Clinton asked the Republican Congress for more spending, they said, okay, we'll give you more, but at a lower rate. Instead of 7 to 8%, we'll do it at 3 to 4%. He says, hey, I'm not going to take that. Hey, Monica, I'm not going to take that. All right? Uh-huh. And the government shut down, and they blame the Democrats. They blame the Republicans.
Right.
So let me reverse the script, as they say. President Trump is asking, and by the way, I'm not all blaming this on the Democrats. The Republicans are part to blame as well, okay? But he's asking Democrats to compromise. He's asking them for money. And yet he's the, remember, Clinton didn't get the blame. The Congress got the blame for the government shutdown.
Right.
So the president's asking for the same thing, and yet he's being blamed for the shutdown.
Well, I think it really depends on who you're asking. You know, frank with you, I don't blame the president. I blame the Republicans in the House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate, because you have both houses of Congress Republican. Why can't he get his agenda through?
That's what senior legal analyst from Fox News, Greg Jarrett, asked.
Your critics would say, well, wait a minute. Republicans have had control of the House and the Senate for 2 years,
right.
And the White House for the better part of 2 years. And yet you have failed to undertake comprehensive immigration reform that would include a border wall. So doesn't the GOP leadership, meaning McConnell and Paul Ryan and others, bear the lion's share of the blame?
I think, to your point, Roger, I think they'd have to bear some of the blame.
Absolutely.
I mean, you can sit and blame the Democrats. You know, the 60% rule is absolutely ridiculous. You can go along with the nuclear option. By the way, the filibuster and the 60% is not a constitutional thing, okay?
Exactly.
The Senate makes up their rules on both sides. So I think you have a valid point.
Exactly. And, you know, you have a Republican Senate, Republican House right now, at least for a matter of days. They could pass that like this. The president could sign it. We wouldn't need Nancy Pelosi.
When it comes to Florida news, as we always cover here on this radio show, minimum workers, excuse me, will get a pay raise starting this week, as businesses will also get a break on insurance bills. Now, a lot of this is stemmed from a constitutional amendment, again, going back to 2004, that the majority, by the way, that was, I think, at 60%. I don't know if it got 60%. It might have been back then. It might have been the 50% threshold. It might have been at 60. I don't know. That's when the splice line, when you need to get 60% to approve to a state constitution. But Florida's minimum wage will tick up each year because of the constitutional amendment in 2004. That ties to the rate of inflation. And because of that, minimum wage workers who get $8.25 an hour in 2018 will get $8.46 an hour. The minimum wage federally is only $7.25. Now, here's the question. Is this really worth bragging about news? What is it? 3-4% of the workforce makes minimum wage? Come on.
Right. Well, you know, it does affect other people because union members, for example, very often their contracts are tied to the minimum wage, such as maybe 3 times the minimum wage per hour. That's their rate. So when that goes up, they get a raise, or those who have maybe $10 above the minimum wage per hour, that kind of thing. But is it accurate to say, Ed, that it's truly a pay raise because it's tied to inflation? Gas, of course, wouldn't be a good example right now, but it's easy one to look at. If gas has gotten more expensive,
yeah,
and their pay has gone up, it isn't
what if, a break-even what if the inflation rate was smaller? So I guess it would go from 825 to 827.
That's a good question. Would it go down if inflation goes
can
down?
Can I ask a question? And I am, you know, my background is a former economic reporter for years, and I can never find this. And I'm not trying to play stupid. And everyone thinks that all men have the answer. That's what, yeah, we don't have the answer, despite what we may think.
My wife has a nickname for me, Mr. Know-It-All.
Mr. Know-It-All, yeah. That men and teenagers know it all. Having said that, I'm asking the audience the question. I don't know, and I'm not asking you, so please educate me. What jobs currently pay minimum wage? Does McDonald's? I think McDonald's drive-thru might even pay more than the minimum wage. I'm not slamming McDonald's workers
right.
at all. I'm not slamming fast food workers. I'm asking a question. What companies, if you own a company, I'm curious, do you start your employees out at the minimum wage or higher minimum wage? I'm just saying is that if 4% of the workforce in here, even here in Florida, nationwide as well, only start or make a minimum wage, I don't know what jobs are paying minimum wage right now.
Right, right. Probably that's a good point.
No, I don't know. I mean, is there any of that?
I can't think of any. If McDonald's isn't paying minimum wage, you can imagine probably not a whole lot more. you know, to be frank with you.
Yeah, I love to hear from the audience now. I mean, I don't know what jobs are currently right now paying the minimum wage. According to economists out there, the U.S. economy has a rosier outlook for the U.S. economy in 2019 than what is being talked about if you look at the stock market, which saw one of the worst, if not the worst, December since out of the Great Depression. But then again, one of the worst in the decade. Yes, we admit all that. But retail sales are higher. Consumer confidence is higher than what we've seen over many years, especially. More jobs created this year than that of President Obama's last year. Some economists are saying that they're looking to see 2.5 to 3% rate as a GDP, which is good. Some are even advocating that we could see wages rise as much as 3% or even more. With that story, economist Mohamed Elialaran.
You have to look beyond Washington. Yes, Washington is an added factor, but there's three things going on. One, the global economy has become more uncertain, not because of the U.S. The U.S. is doing fine.
He says the U.S. is doing fine, but he says the economic outlook and all that looks very well for 2019.
Coming from a very good 2017. People forget that. Everything went right in 2017. Higher returns, no volatility, and great correlation. So I think of this as a normalization.
He talks about the stock market, the ups and downs.
Economy on a standalone basis would look fine. But because of what's happening in the rest of the world, because liquidity conditions have changed, markets will remain volatile. So don't be surprised if you see these 1,000-point swings in the Dow.
And he says, be looking for 2.5 to 3% GDP growth rate.
Or a massive market accident to push us into recession. I think the most likely outcome is decoupling. The economy will remain strong, growing at 2.5 to 3%.
That's very positive, and we'll continue to see where all of that moves along. And more as we continue to move along. Talk Radio WBOB.
I-95 South in St. John's County, mile marker 316. There's been a crash. We see backup both directions. Southbound lanes, two lanes are blocked. And at 295 South at Pulaski Road, look out for a wreck there causing some delay.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. With Christmas behind us in 2019 here, the last thing you want to hear is somebody trying to sell you something. That's why at Underwoods, we'd like to stop and just say thank you to all the people that came in our stores over the last year. Whether you bought from us or not, we want to thank you for stopping by and giving us a chance to help. Here on Florida's First Coast, there are a lot of people trying to sell you jewelry, but at Underwoods, we have a different view because we consider it an honor for somebody to come in and just give us the chance to help, because if we do a good job, we might get a chance to serve again. Having served North Florida since 1928, all of us here understand what a customer really gives us during that visit to Underwoods, their trust, and it's up to us to do everything we can to keep it. So on behalf of everybody on the Underwood team, thanks again for coming into our stores, and we wish each of you a Happy New Year.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Saturday, January 5th, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's the Fernandina Beach Marketplace Farmers Market on North 7th Street in Fernandina Beach. Saturday, January 5th at 6 p.m., it's the Hall of Heroes Mini Comic-Con at Mosh at the Museum of Science and History. And Sunday, January 6th at 10 a.m., it's the Orange Park Farmers and Art Market at the Town Hall Park on Park Avenue.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
Make excellent happen. Only at New Balance can you get athletic footwear, apparel, and accessories with highly trained New Balance fit specialists to make sure everything is exactly right. If you're having a hard time finding comfortable shoes or have a hard-to-fit size, your answer is at the New Balance store. New Balance in Orange Park and Beach Boulevard features full-service sit-and-fit locations. Both New Balance stores have a full stock of running, walking, baseball, cross-training, and tennis shoes. You'll find sizes 5 to 18, widths AA, B, D, Double E, 4E, 6E, plus orthotic arch supports. New Balance's state-of-the-art computerized foot scanner gets the right fit every time. Make excellent happen at either New Balance store. 10,095 Beach Boulevard, open Monday through Saturday, 10 till 6. Call 620-0483 or at 1871 Wells Road across from the Orange Park Mall. Open Monday through Saturday, 10 till 8. Call 592-7892. New Balance, athletic footwear and apparel for all ages.
Morning clouds, and we're expecting sunshine this afternoon. Our high will be 80 degrees. This evening, partly cloudy with a low of 61. Right now, it's 60 here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Minimum wage workers will get a pay raise, and businesses will get a break on insurance bills as new laws take effect in Florida today. President Trump says he's ready to deal for a government to reopen, but no compromise from Democrats on border wall funding. And economists say while the stock market has seen major turbulence, 2019 looks good for positive growth.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
So Councilwoman Ana Lopez Brochet, when is she supposed to make the announcement? I keep hearing she's going to for a mayor.
Well, the deadline's the 11th of January, so she doesn't have a lot of time. I've been hearing that she's probably going to. They're already running ads against her.
I mean, and they're pretty good ads. I get along well with, with her. I've interviewed him a few times. He is what he is. He doesn't bother me. Mm-hmm. I like some of his proposals, but he's got a great ad out there about the term limits. By the way, may I also, just because we call it the way it is on this radio show, we do not endorse. We never have for the many of years on this radio show.
If it sounds enthusiastic, it's only because we like to see a good, fist fight going on politically, but it's not because we're supporting any particular candidate.
I got to write this ad down. He's got a Curry News ad. I want to get that out. But he's got a good one. You know how that I guess he's going after Ana Lopez Brochet, who I think would put up a decent challenge.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And I'm not saying the mayor will lose, but I think she puts up a decent challenge. They've got an ad out there where, she voted to remove term limits. Well, may I also recommend that some of my good friends on city council.
Right.
Like Matt Schellenberg.
Exactly.
Voted, who, by the way, very much aligns himself with Mayor Lena Curry, along with many other city council members, also voted to repeal the term limits. That's not a slam at my good friend Matt. That he's just honest about it.
Yeah, he's honest about it. He's been honest on it on this program. Personally, I'm not a big fan of term limits myself, to be frank with you.
Well, I mean, I kind of like the idea of term limits, get some new blood in there.
Yeah.
But, the point that I'm saying is what's the point of having term limits if somebody can, I'm not picking on Tommy Hazzuri. I get along with Tommy. Tommy's probably not my cup of tea politically, but he's always been very kind to me, and mm-hmm. I've been very kind to him.
Right.
That, they can go out 1 year, come back, start a new set of terms out there. You know, folks, my question to you is, term limits isn't pure. Do term limits go far enough? I mean, we have term limits here in Jacksonville on the sheriff, which is fine. I like Mike Williams. We have term limits on all the other constitutional, but they're not throughout the rest of the state. Should that be a statewide ballot initiative, or should each county rely on its own?
Yeah, a lot of people like the home rule idea, and there are a lot of people who don't support term limits because they value experience, and they think that, okay, if this person knows what they're doing, they bring a lot of wealth of experience to the job, why is that a detriment to the voters? Why is that a detriment to the people?
I mean, it's a great ad. I mean, a lot of the voters here in Duval County mm-hmm. throughout the rest of the state love the idea of term limits. I think that's one thing that, again, you look at certain issues, you could go after her on. I think a lot of people, and again, we get along very well with Ana Lopez Brochet. We've differed with her on issues, maybe the HRO because of the attack on business, also the issue of the Confederate monument. I mean, somehow this was the biggest issue out there, all right? And it really wasn't. And so the question is, term limits are good, but a lot of Republicans don't like term limits. They want them for everybody. Your congressman stinks, but not mine.
You're right.
But everybody hates Congress.
Exactly.
So I wonder if the term limits doesn't go far enough. Maybe we need to put a more of a seal on it where it sits back and says, two terms, you cannot run again for mayor or run again for city council.
Or maybe, the sitting out a term here and there is a good thing. Gets them a chance to recalibrate.
New blood.
New blood, period.
New blood.
Bring in. Okay.
222 talk. 222-8255. This is Talk Radio, WBOB.
And if you're in St. John's County, 95 South at mile marker 316, there's been a crash and two right lanes are blocked. Passersby going the other direction are seeing some backup there as well. And at 295 South at the Pulaski Road on-ramp, there's been a wreck in the Oceanway area this morning.
Internal Revenue Service. When you owe a personal or business tax debt and can't pay, just hearing those three words brings feelings of fear and anxiety. I'm Jonathan David Suryash, Managing Tax Attorney at J. David Tax Law. Everyone knows that if you owe the IRS and don't pay, it's only a matter of time before tax liens, wage garnishments, or bank levies happen to you. The first step to resolution is our no-cost consultation. We take the time to go through your specific tax problem step by step. We explain exactly what your options are and how we will resolve your tax issue. J. David Tax Law is a local firm right here in Jacksonville, where only an experienced tax attorney will represent you. Our fee payment plans are affordable for everyone. If you have tax problems, call us now for a no-cost consultation at 904-507-4777. That's 904-507-4777, or find us on the web at jdavidtaxlaw.com. That's jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
Do you know who was voted the Bold City's best plumber? Roland Reisch Plumbing. Here's why. Roland Reisch Plumbing promises great work on time and does it. The good news spreads fast. For all plumbing issues, large or small, you want the Bold City's best. Click Plumber in Jax.com. Your friends and neighbors have used them, and that's why they went to Jacksonville.com to vote Roland Reisch Plumbing Jacksonville's top plumber. 24/7, Roland Reisch Plumbing is standing by, whether it's routine work or a middle-of-the-night emergency. Just call 904-260-7059. If you have a leak, can't wait a week, please call Roland Reisch Plumbing at 904-260-7059. Roland Reisch Plumbing is proud to have been voted Bold City's best plumber. They intend to stay number one. Call 904-260-7059. Call 904-260-7059.
Morning clouds today, then afternoon sunshine is expected. We'll have a high of around 80. This evening, partly cloudy, 61 degrees will be the low. Right now, it's 60 degrees here at WBOB.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email Ed at WBOB.com.
Remember, before Rudy Giuliani, the president's first batch of attorneys said that they were expecting this to wrap up at the end of 2017, maybe early 2018. Here we are on the first day of 2019, and we have no further guidance, no further clarity whatsoever as to when this will wrap up. It could be a perfectly legitimate question to ask, do we even know if this is going to wrap up in 2019?
Fox News host asked the question about the Mueller investigation. Mueller, where does it stand? Where are we at right now? Former federal prosecutor John Laura says, I don't think this investigation is going to wrap up for many months down the road.
I agree. I think we're many, many months away from the release. Mueller was charged with determining whether or not there was coordination between Russian entities that were interfering in the election and the Trump campaign. So far, he has not established by way of indictment or by way of any cooperating witness that there was that cooperation.
And according to Rudy Giuliani from the Fox News, they say it's time to put up or shut up.
That's what one of the president's attorneys said. He started off by saying, I challenge Mueller to put up or shut up. He ended that tweet by saying it's been 2 years, so submit a report to DOJ and we will answer it. His last tweet of 2018 reads in full. He says, quote, I am looking forward to 2019 so we can end the Mueller witch hunt before he starts his unpaid traffic ticket investigation.
Unpaid traffic ticket investigation. You know, even though Mueller could be judge, jury, mm-hmm. not the executioner.
Right.
But, if you've got a case going on, you don't tick off the judge.
Okay.
You get what I'm saying?
You have a point.
You think that they are really positive that there's nothing there, hence the reason why they are daily, understandably so, going after Mueller saying, what do you have? Because if you have something, the investigation shouldn't be going on further.
But you know what? He needs to have the ability to operate independently, and I get that part of it. But at the same time, it doesn't look like he's got anything there. And so far, everyone who's been brought up on anything major has been things like perjury trapping.
Yeah, but here's the thing. What about a statute of limitations on that as well? I mean, that was a big accusation against Ken Starr back in the 1990s.
Okay.
That one thing. What's the name of the song? One Thing. Is that The Clash? No, I don't know. One Thing Leads to Another.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what it is right
there. 80 songs when we were kids.
One Thing Leads to Another out there. And so that's where is this all going? Constitutional law professor Jonathan Turley says, you know, Dems got to get off this kick. This obsession with Trump.
And the Democratic Party used to represent something. But what we've seen in the last 2 years is that they've become the inverse image of Donald Trump, that this obsession is really worthy of Melville. It's this all-consuming effort, which is beginning to erode what defines the Democrats.
And Turley says, look at their issues about Syria and Afghanistan that all even go back with Russia. He says Trump has kind of taken their position now. Now all the Democrats are against it.
When Donald Trump said, I want to get out of Syria and Afghanistan, the Democrats who have long opposed endless or undeclared wars said, oh, my God, this is hasty. How could you do this? We have to fight terrorism. Even their rhetoric seems to be adopted from an earlier time. If you look at what Democrats are now saying about Russian influence, you know, we all, I hope, agree that the Russian interference with our election was terrible, worthy of sanctions, and worthy of investigation.
You know, he makes an interesting point. Remember back in the 80s that even if you dealt with Russia, like, you know, Reagan, how could you do a trade deal with Moscow? Even a lot of conservatives, oh, you must be a traitor, you know, whatever. And remember, they all loved Gorbachev when he came over. Oh, my word! It was like he came to New York City. I filled my Phil Donahue impersonation coming around. Oh, my word! And they love them.
Right.
And now, if you have any type of... But what's the difference between now and them, okay?
Okay.
Now, if you deal with Russia, it's like, OMG, you have a plague.
But more and more Democrats are saying that anyone who associates with Russians are traitors and you know, they're our enemy. It's this sort of Cold War language that usually the Democrats dismissed and opposed. That at some point, the Democrats are going to have an identity separate from Donald Trump.
And yet, is it all about beating up on President Trump? I mean, if you're one of these liberals like Elizabeth Warren, Cory Booker, and the rest of these guys that are going in, it's going to be who can outpace, you know, we see it on the conservative aisle, who can outright wing other Republicans out there.
Right.
The question is who's going to out-liberal all the other guys on the left, and is it all going to be going after Trump, impeachment? You know, they take control this Thursday.
Right.
So they talk, which we're going to talk coming up next with David Williams. They're talking about the Medicare for All, the new energy, green type. I mean, I wonder how much they're really going to push this full-blown left or somewhat with a little bit of a moderate approach.
Well, we're going into the 2020 elections in just a couple of years. All the candidates.
No, we're going to max a couple of months, maybe.
All the candidates are probably going to start declaring within a matter of months right now, and anything they can do to go after the president right now, I think they see that as a win for them.
888-224-222-8255. It's our first day back. Good to be. Well, Roger's been here working through the holidays, so he's going to probably take a couple weeks off here soon. So anyway,
me too. You're right.
But anyway, it's good to be back. Our first day of back on the show for 2019. Email address ed@wbob.com. ed@wbob.com. Coming up next, David Williams is a Fox Business News contributor. We'll talk to him. Steve Beeman, chairman of the McGraw-Council.com. All of these economic outlooks, some CEOs and CFOs and others out there, COOs, think that it's a possibility we may see a recession in 2019. Who's talking that down? All of this coming up next, hour number two, Ed Dean, Roger Henderson on FM 101.1, AM 600, Talk Radio, WBOB.